are listening to KBUT Community Radio, 90.3 in Crested Butte, 88.9 in Gunnison, and worldwide at KBUT.org. This is Community Matters, KBUT's public affairs program, airing every other Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. I'm your host, Kate Ganap. For the first time in history, Potsdam, Germany will see figures such as the Harvest Mother, the Green Man, an Earth Dragon, and a Knight, just to name a few. These so-called wisdom figures are easily recognized here in Crested Butte as key components of a decades-long tradition known as Vinnetok, an Earth-honoring celebration that takes place each fall here in the Gunnison Valley. Vinnetok founders Marcy Thielander and Mark Schwieso will be joined by seven other community members to share these traditions with the International Society for the Study of Religion, Nature, and Culture. The conference, called Myth, Ritual, and Practice for the Age of Ecological Catastrophe, takes place in Germany this week. I caught up with Vinnetok founders Marcy and Mark before they hopped across the pond with Vinnetok crew in tow. Mark, Marcy, thank you so much for coming in on this snowy spring day. So my understanding is Vinnetok only happens in one place, and that's here in Crested Butte. Can we talk about the history of Vinnetok here in the valley?
Vinnetok began because both Mark and I were on the newspaper, the Pilot at that time. And Mark was a photographer and writer, and I was a writer and special editions editor. And so we were getting ready to go into our centennial of being an organized town. And I had been working with the elders in the community, most notably in the Liars Benches and at Tony's Conoco, now the museum. And after some time, it took a while for them to accept me, they generously began to share their stories over that big pot-bellied stove and under the watch of the Boone and Crockett, then Record, elk rack. And as we talked, we were also looking at a way that we could bring together a divide in the community. In the 70s, when Mark and I arrived, there were a lot of us newbies who were beginning, I would say, the roots of ecological and environmental journalism. And I came specifically because friends called me and said, you've got to come. There is a big molybdenum mine just squatting over town, and there's something that's going on that's not okay. This is perfect. We need to buy into the newspaper. So that's what happened. And I fell in love, as did Mark, with this place immediately and with the stories, personal narratives, and ethnography of the elders. And I believe that stories are a web on which we weave people, generations, political views together, and especially environmental. And so as we were sharing these stories, we started talking with the elders about what were the ways that you celebrated your uniqueness in the midst of one of the few Rocky Mountain mining towns that was never unionized. It was a brutal life for the boys and the men who went into the mines. And many of the stories were from people who were born before the turn from the 19th into the 20th century. And that was a generation that had experienced more change than any other in the history of humans, as far as we know. So they started talking about this fall festival, Slovenian for fall wine celebration. And this sounded good to all of us because it was a big off-season time. And the community, along with the Mountain Theater, could celebrate ourselves together. And the stories became what we built upon and wove into with the old world forms of celebration to create Vinnetok. And it was very purposely a way for us to bring generations. Five generations have participated at this time. Wow. After 40 years. Yes, it's really a wonderful thing. And we have a living heritage, literally. Our elders and homesteaders and second founders, we always acknowledge and honor the Ute people who were the first stewards this is their traditional lands, and we are guests upon it, and we honor that. And we wanted to bring forth these stories that were so important to us new folk. We needed to learn how to live here, and how to live here together, and how to live here with a huge mind squatting over the town, and the elders believing, because they were mostly all miners, that all mining was good mining. How different was the technology, and is the technology of molybdenum extraction from the kind of mining that they were doing?
When I think about Vinnatok, I think of oral storytelling. Can you talk more about that tradition?
You're absolutely right. And you have to be very ready to be vulnerable when you're sharing stories. Yet it opens so many doors and crosses so many portals between humans. And also, the most important part of this, our desire to protect and preserve the fragile health of our environment and the wilderness around us.
Can we also talk more about these wisdom figures?
So archetypes are an energy, a dynamic, and in the way we do it, an embodiment, which brings forward mighty powers that exist in all cultures and all times. And the Green Man and the Harvest Mother have been in almost every culture, if not certainly the Harvest Mother, yes. And her consort and her son, the Green Man, is the earliest vegetation god. So in our story, he is an extremely important way of saying that as humans treat nature, she will respond back. And the Green Man is charged with literally marrying the earth for a year and a day, and then for life. And he is seen as the leader, and he is the lusty lad, and he's the brother of forest and field, but also the protector of our blessed and precious and sacred place spirit here. Others are, well, the knight. We call him Sir Hapless. He's kind of a fop, and he's a technogreed maniac. Progress at any cost. However, well, we thought we were pretty prescient when we realized that we were bringing forward something that actually exists in our world now, a character who is such a trickster that we now know that is one of the most dangerous things in our world. And this, though, archetype transforms. He battles with the earth dragon, who is all that is wild and untamed of earth. And they have this, well, mock battle, but it's interesting stagecraft. And Mark is actually playing the knight in Potsdam, Germany, when we take the show on the road and over the pond. So he learns in the court of the Harvest Mother, you may not do this. And she is a very interesting face and form of Gaia, of Goddess Earth. It is she who must be obeyed. And in our ceremony of marrying the Earth, this is an old tradition that we are bringing back. We don't know anywhere else where this is actually performed, anywhere in the world. There probably are secret little villages like ours still keeping these things alive. And others of these are the maidens, who are powerful protectors of the seasons. And we also have the torchbearers, who are the protectors, the guardians, who carry the Red Lady, deeply important archetype embodiment here in our community. And we have this direct relationship with her. Mount Emmons, to us, of course, is a deity of nature, the Red Lady. Usually we would call this Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Norse cosmology or stories that are meant to teach. And they talk very much about the wastelands. What happens when the well maidens, our maidens, as we identify them, who are the daughters of sovereignty, Earth, when they are despoiled and when their generosity of spirit and their pure waters are invaded, then sovereignty steps forward and says, I shall bring the wastelands upon you until you learn. And we create altars that are created from natural, carefully foraged and dried plants around what we call the wastelands, where reparation is happening along Peanut Lake and then through town. We want to remind ourselves in the pilgrimage, walking the way of Vinnatuck, why we're doing this. And it is very important to know that nothing is too small. Nothing is too small for individuals to do. So most of what we do during the 7 days of Vinnatuck allow people to create their own pilgrimages and their own recommitment to serving our environment and other species and life forms to honor their personhood.
I think it's very important to note, too, whether when during the actual week of Vinnatuck, whether you're a local or a visitor, you see that the entire community transforms. And we're not acting. Whether it's one of the individuals who are selected for that year to be represent one of the archetypes, or if you're another cast member or participant on any level, the entire community is not acting this out. They are transforming, and the true spirit and character of our community emerges. And that really separates us from a lot of what we would call theater, because we are embodying what we're representing.
No, I think that's an important distinction. I mean, I'm imagining, too, our first Vinnatuck must have been quite an experience. Do you want to kind of describe what that was like?
The first year, there were 6 or 8 of us, no cell phones. We would scramble all over town. If you needed to find somebody, you had to get in your car and go look for them. And to put this together, we're really focused on the stories of the old-timers. When the grand old-timers were still alive, we were very focused on them and what they brought to this community for the benefit of the rest of us. That included the pachinka, the traditional lamb roast that came from Croatia and Slovenia in their homelands. And there would be the first feast were chairs and tables set out on Elk Avenue in front of the Two Buttes Senior Center. And we would bring the lambs in. The boys would stay up all night drinking and roasting the lambs to perfection. And the ladies would be preparing side dishes in the senior center. And we would feast on Elk Avenue, and there'd be a big polka dance following the feast.
That's why it's so important to continue to remember these stories. So many of them from Celtic countries, from Germanic countries. And most of our backgrounds, the people who are going to be going to Potsdam, Germany, come from Germanic roots, our ancestral roots. The names that are going there are my family name, Overstolz, Marx, Schwieso, Foltz, Rich, or Eich. These are some really, really true rooted names, and we're very, very excited and feel privileged to be able to take what the elders taught us about their own earth-centric celebrations and brought them here, and now we're taking them back to share them and weave them together again to Germany.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really cool full circle moment for Vinnatuck in this community. So let's get into the forum. How did this come together?
Well, we were really fortunate and grateful to be invited by our art center, the wonderful people who are the guides for that, for the summit for the Colorado Creative Industries Gathering early June. And we were asked to, you know, maybe be a presence there. And well, you just can't do that with Vinnatuckers and Festivarians. We said, we'll do a mini-tuck. We want these hundreds of people to learn how this process can really be embedded and be experiential and immersive in a community and bring divides and divisiveness together, because it was a major reason for the Vinotuk storytellings. We just were very divided between the ways that we looked at and came up through mining and its industry. So people from all over Colorado were coming to this. And the major thing that people were looking at is, how do you create an immersive event that continues on in a community? And Libby Barbie and Melissa Mason decided we would be a really good way to show that. So that's what we did. We created in the courtyard a wonderful series of altars, and then we gathered grumps, and we did the grump trial and the grump burning ceremony, and hundreds of people fell in love with it. So when the call for papers went out from Potsdam University in Germany, Libby Barbie, who is one of the directors of the CCI, essentially our arts council in Colorado, and she said, I don't know, this is an academic program, and it's pretty heady and intense. And it was called, or is called, the Forum for the Study of Religion and the Environment. But she said, I think you're the poster children for this. And we said, oh, yeah. So we really put together a wonderful presentation. And what we'll be doing there is a number of things, which we can talk about in a minute. But the great thing is that we really knew this is a return home. You know, this is Liebeland, you know, the German for the love of the land. And that is what I think really appealed to the board and the academics and the religious influencers who weave this together. But the freshness of what we do and the immediacy of it connected to place spirit, I think, is going to be the major case study. This is what the conference wants to do. They want to look at, where does it exist? If it does, how do you do it? What are the problems with it? What are the possibilities and potentials with it? How do communities find a way?
I think what grabbed us too is this year's conference is titled Myth, Ritual, and Practice in the Age of Ecological Catastrophe. And when we saw that, we knew we can rock myth and ritual and advocate for the environment. And we really focused on letting them know what our 40-year history is with Vinotuk and how we've been a part of advocating to save the Red Lady, our sacred mountain. So that got their attention. It really did.
The topic of this conference, ecological catastrophe, this hits close to home.
You know, I talked to Wes Light, who was the original town attorney and who really spearheaded many of the legal battles that we have continued over the last 47 years. And this was just recently. He said, I've been traveling the world continuing to do this work. He said, and I finally discovered and realized that our fight against the molybdenum mining, and against extractive mining, is the longest and most successful in history. For a little town, when we arrived, that was about 600 people, and those 600 people, along with other Valley participants, continued to keep this environmental, journalistic battle going and legal proceedings going, we should be very, very proud.
So what are we going to share and talk about at this forum in Germany? What's going to happen next week?
Well, we are going to create an exhibit that lasts for the time of the conference, which is made up of, and people will know this here, staffs, tall, wrangled deadfall that is decorated, and large banners, images of the archetypal characters, or the wisdom figures, as we call them. And then there will be the pilgrimage of the way, and people will be able to follow signs, as they do here at the various altars, and they can create their own process of rededicating and recommitting to their communities. They will also be invited to do the very favorite thing of writing your grumps, and they will be looking at exactly what the grumps are from their own home communities and place spirit. Will certainly be in our regalia. There will be no question about that. As we know here, any opportunity to celebrate and dress up. We will be holding those embodiments for this conference. So, you know, we have switched roles and we have taken new roles on. And that's what a repertory troupe is. That's what a group of troubadours, of the motley crew, of the itinerant players always did. Mm. We reform with each place and people. And then we will do a formal panel, as formal as we can get, panel discussion, which I think is going to be very, very rich, because we have created detailed handouts that describe Vinotuk and how communities can begin to think about creating their own. What we say is, love Vinotuk, but don't come. So we have a very rich template that we love to help people draw through their own newly created and newly recreated traditions and seasonal celebrations. Always environmentally focused.
Sadly, we will not be able to burn the grumps. We've been told that they have very strict fire regulations. So we're coming up with some creative ways to do the banishing of the grumps. And we have found that academics, who are all in their head in many ways, are some of the most... they open up so completely to an experience like this, because it's so foreign to them, but there's an urge in all of us to want to just shout it out and be part of a real wild celebration. So we're looking forward to opening some bodies, minds, and spirit.
You know, there is such a need for the kind of catharsis that we have during our 7 days of 35 really events people can be involved with. And that kind of catharsis, which is collective joy and dancing in the streets, is something that humans have needed since the beginning of time. And Vinotuk was very carefully created to continue to live on, to certainly grow, but all the parts that are the deepest and most ancient, and also now the most cutting edge, were available 40 years ago. And really 47 years ago, when I began working with the elders and they began being so generous with me and then the community. So what we're doing is we're drawing and regenerating ancient perennial wisdom forward to marry it with cutting edge technologies that are sustainable and a culture that is resilient. And this program we're calling Villages of Vision. And we want to help communities, neighborhoods, large towns and cities find the village again. Mm. It's something here that we count on. We know our people, and we know the great genius and skills that each individual has. And when one's missing, when one person is missing, we feel it. We can also mobilize. And we can draw people forward into their true genius. I mean, this a successful community, one that's truly resilient, honors and brings forth the best and most powerful qualities of the individuals in the community. And I feel that we are definitely a community like that. And we also call ourselves a community of resistance, assistance, and persistence, because we are resisting being covered over by the pavement, progress at any cost, And we're embracing things like characters make character and embracing inconvenience, plus our deep love of the personhood of first nature all around us.
Well, we have just a few minutes left. Any last thoughts or things you would like folks to know about this opportunity or Venetalk in general?
Yes, I would like to say that we close this conference with the mumming and the trial of the grump and the decision that it is going to be our scapegoat. And so we'll involve this entire community and these people from all around the world in that. And then the grump will be drawn and quartered and drowned because we could do that. So, you know, that catharsis and dancing around, you know, that central place is going to be part of that picture. We do want to remind people that Venetalk is something that we make almost completely free. And as Mark pointed out, with at least 150 of our locals. And if we consider that we have 1,500 full-time residents, that's a big percentage. So we do this because we want everyone to be able to participate in all of the forms of festivity and feasting and fun. And we are very grateful that Lisa Ruth, who actually is sponsoring a big part of this through her company, Cultivate Leadership, and who helped launch this, and then the other people who are going to be with us, are really giving a lot of time. We want folks to remember that, that this is a real gift that we appreciate offering. The other thing is, watch out, Potsdam. We are landing.
Well, I just think one thing that has always been very important to us, and I know that there are some differing points of view on this, but we really do strive to be inclusive. We take creativity and participation from every part of this community, and we're taking that to Germany with us as well, because one of the things that Venetalk has done very successfully has healed some of the wounds between what we encountered as divisive parts of the community when we first got here. And the coming together in celebration, there's nothing more powerful or healing than something like that. And I think Venetalk does that for Crested Butte very successfully.
Have continued to bring these traditions forward in the way that is the most effective and powerful and just like us.
Well, Marcy, Mark, thank you guys both so much for popping into the studio before you travel, like you said, across the pond to share all of this experience.
Really exciting.
Thank you so much, Kate.
You are tuned in to KBUT's public affairs program, Community Matters. You can learn more about Venetalk at venetalk.org, and we'll also have follow-up coverage of the conference in coming weeks. Special thanks to our guests for today's episode. And in case you just tuned in, you can listen to the full episode at kbut.org. Stay tuned for Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Regional Roundup coming up next. Then we'll hear NPR's All Things Considered from 5 to 7 p.m. That is followed by Bobby's World with Bobby Digital from 7 to 9 p.m. I'm Kate Gnapp. Thanks for tuning in.